Blog Talk Radio.
Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on. From the start it was Yahweh. He took me from the dark, put him in my heart. So Yahweh, got my mind Yahweh. Show me the times and the laws, the flaws of myself Yahweh. Let me know to turn to him, only glory Yahweh. Never bragging anything unless it be Yahweh. He the most high, he my king, he my lawgiver, he my savior. And I'm only praising Yahweh. Told me that my name was Isha, that's man of Yahweh. All fire of Yahweh, whatever it be, you know I rep Yahweh. On my wrist, what does it say? It say praise Yahweh. Y'all can walk another way if you want to, but I'm walking this way. I'm a Israel crew, full life, ride with my homies that be with Yahweh. Only companions be praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, JC, never mentioned by Yahweh. Nowhere in the holy scriptures do you see Yahweh. Mixing this cat you call Yahoshua, Yahawashah, Yahuwah, whatever y'all calling him, it ain't Yahweh. Quran never spoke about the man Yahweh. I mean the name Yahweh, the Holy One Yahweh. Not a man that he shall lie, or the son of man that he shall repent. And y'all think he said somebody that could get killed? What you talking? Yahweh died, man. Come on, man. You thinking that Yahweh lied, man? You frontin' now. If you just open the scriptures, you'll see it right there in Isaiah 34:16. Yahweh only got one book, so let's look in it. Don't get too shook, minister, reverend, pastor, whoever you are, you spittin' disaster. If you ain't praising the Most High, who is Yahweh? What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah. What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day.
First and foremost, let me give all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to our King and our Savior, whose name is Yahweh, by saying hallelujah. It's a blessing, a great blessing, to be here on the fifth day of the week, to come before the people that's tuning in, to bring forth to you the truth of Yah. It's my privilege and my pleasure.
Is this working? Yeah, it works. Well.
So I'm elated to be here to bring a message that is from the Most High Yah. And like I said, it's my privilege and pleasure to do this. And what I'm teaching on today is inspired by Yah. His true and unadulterated word. And what I will be talking about today and teaching about today is Yahweh's fourth covenant, the fourth covenant. And if you've been tuning in to 1907 Vine Street, you've been learning about the first covenant, the second covenant, the third, and now we're here at the fourth. And we're going to teach all seven covenants. And these covenants are very important for us to know. And if you've been tuning in prior, we've been teaching about the order of Yahweh's 7 days. And so if you know the order of Yahweh's 7 days, then you know the order of the fourth is the praises of the Most High Yah. And we've done shown this and proved this with preponderance of scriptures that the fourth represents the praises of Yah. And we proved this in the book of Genesis, 29th chapter, the 35th verse. And this way, and I will go there real quick. I'm not going to prolong on this long at all, but this is for those that may be tuning in for the first time. Genesis 29, verse 35, it says, and this is talking about Jacob's wife. She conceived again and bare a son, and she said, "Now will I praise Yahweh." Therefore, she called his name Yehuda. This was the fourth son. And of course, we know that this was all orchestrated by Yah. We know that the Most High Spirit was with this woman. And she named this man, and she praised Yah because this was the spirit in the hand of Yahweh doing his works, showing us what this fourth son represents. We also proved this in the book of Leviticus. And one more before I leave Genesis. Go to Genesis, the 49th chapter. Genesis 49 and verse 8. Yehuda, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Because that's Yehuda was destined for praise. The Most High raised him up for praise. That's why he was born the fourth son. And we proved this again in the Leviticus, book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter. The 24th verse. What does it say? The 24th verse, it says, and I'm going to start at 23 so you get a quick understanding. When you shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then you shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised for 3 years. It shall be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. But the 24th verse, it says, but in the fourth year, all the fruit shall be holy, because the fourth is holy as well. Why you think that the Sabbath day is the fourth commandment? But it shall be holy to praise Yahweh with them. And that's why we praise Yahweh on the Sabbath day, because the fourth is not only represents something holy, because the praises of Yah has to be holy, but it represents his praise. And that's what we did in the fourth year. And my last scripture to show on this, before we get to the fourth covenant, because if we can prove, as we have done, that Yahweh's order, his time and purpose, proves that all his time has purpose. And the fourth, the Most High has shown, represents his praise. That's the purpose of the fourth. Whether it's the fourth day, the fourth tribe, the fourth year, the fourth commandment, even the fourth covenant, which we're going to be talking about today. And, of course, in Genesis, the first chapter, we know that the Most High on the fourth day, on the very fourth day, the Most High created the sun, and he created the moon, and he created the stars in the heaven. And he separated the day and night. This was the day that he finished what he started on the second day. It took 2 days to finish the heavens. But what's so peculiar about that, and how can that connect to praise? Well, look at the book of Malachi, the first chapter. Malachi, the first chapter, and the second verse says, I have loved you, says Yah, yet ye say, and excuse me, let me skip on down to the 11th verse, right to the money. It says in the 11th verse of Malachi 1, "For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great amongst the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great amongst the heathens, says Yahweh of hosts." From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. And you can also read in the book of Psalms 138, verse 2, which says, "From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my name shall be praised." This was the time that Yahweh has destined for his praise. And when was the sun born? The sun was born on the fourth day. And what was the purpose of the sun? To bring forth the praises of Yah. And of course, we fast forward ourselves all the way over to this fourth covenant that we're dealing with today. Undoubtedly, it has to represent the praises of Yah. It has to. The fourth covenant, and let me say this before I get into what I'm going to present today, because there's a lot of people that believe that the fourth covenant is the covenant of Levi. And when we examine the scriptures, it just don't add up. It don't add up. And I want to take you to a couple of scriptures to show you, since we're in Malachi already. Let's look at Malachi, the second chapter, to see if this is true. Because I'm telling you today that when I'm presenting the fourth covenant, it's not the covenant of Levi. The covenant of Levi, Malachi, the second chapter, let's start at the first verse. "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, says Yahweh of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. Yeah, I've cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, spread dung upon your faces, even dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, specifically, that my covenant might be with Levi, says Yahweh of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips." And what you see is that the Most High is talking specifically to Levi and his descendants and the priests. And this covenant that he made with them, it was just for them. That's the difference with the seven everlasting covenants. When we talk about the seven everlasting covenants that Yahweh made with Israel, what they have in common is that they all are to the whole nation, including Levi, all 12 tribes. These are the seven everlasting covenants. But yes, the Most High has specific covenants he make with individuals. He has specific covenants as this one that he made with one tribe. He made a covenant with the whole earth. And we might benefit from it in some way. But then you have seven specific covenants that was made specifically to the whole nation of Israel. Let me take you to another chapter real quick. Leviticus, the 24th chapter, the 8th verse, to give you just a little bit more understanding on this Levitical covenant. Leviticus 24, verse 8 says, "Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before Yahweh continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant." And this is the everlasting covenant of Levi. He was taken from the children of Israel. He was separated from the children of Israel. This was a covenant that was separated to him and for him. and it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of Yah made by fire, by perpetual statute. And with this covenant, the Levites were able to reap an inheritance and a blessing that nobody can claim but the Levitical priests, but the sons of Levi. And one last scripture on that particular point is Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, in the 8th verse. It says, at that time, Yahweh separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of Yah and to stand before Yah to minister unto him and to bless in his name unto this day. Wherefore, Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with his brother. Yahweh is his inheritance, according as Yahweh Elohim promised him. So this is showing you that they were separated with this covenant. This is not a covenant of the whole nation of Israel. This is a covenant specifically for one of the tribes. Hallelujah. And so, and we'll be talking about these covenants. This is vitally important. It's vitally important. And I have two scriptures to show you why. First, we go to Psalms 25. And I know y'all familiar with this verse, but I have to read it. Psalms 25, starting at verse 4, it says, show me thy ways, O Yah, and teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the Elohim of my salvation. Remember, O Yahweh, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. And let me skip down to the meat of the matter. The 14th verse says, the secret of Yah is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenants. And this is a twofold blessing. You got a man that fears Yah. The Most High said, listen, I'm going to show him my secret, and I'm going to show him my covenants. And what I'm finding out, people, is that the covenants of Yah are secrets, especially the ones that he made with the nation of Israel. And what kind of man is he that the Most High is showing him secrets? Well, he's a man that fears Yah. And why is that so important for us to know? Well, I want to know a man that fears Yah. I want to know a man that Yahweh is revealing secrets to. And this is the reason why. One more scripture. Go to Book of Psalms, the 15th chapter. Psalms 15 says, Yahweh, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who should dwell in thy holy hill? But he that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, and whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fears Yah. This is the kind of man that's going to be accepted into the tabernacles and the holy hills of Yah. Because if you're a type of man that don't honor a man that fears Yah, a man that's Yahweh showing secrets to, a man that Yahweh is revealing his covenants to, and you won't honor him, you won't respect him, you won't listen to him. This is what happened with Moses and his sister and brother, and they was prophets. So this is why this is vitally important that we know who fears Yah. And you can identify those who fear Yah by looking at the secrets that they reveal. They look at the covenants. And if you believe that the fourth covenant is the covenant of Levi, the fourth of the seven everlasting covenants is the covenant of Levi, well, you're mistaken. You can't go to the scriptures and prove it. You can prove that that's an everlasting covenant with Levi, but not with the whole nation of Israel. So let's get into this fourth covenant. What I'm going to do today to the praises and blessings of the Most High is make the crooked thing straight and bring forth his truth and what the order of his order is. The fourth covenant is recorded in the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And I tell you, people, get into the studies of this. I never taught this presentation before. I've taught things about this, but this specific presentation, I've never taught it before. And for me, it's almost new. The Most High has opened his word and shown wondrous things. He done shown things that, listen, all I can do is really say, praise the mighty Yah. Praise the mighty Yah. For he is good and for his mercy endures forever. Let me show you this covenant. And we're going to prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Isaiah 55. Let's start at verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. And he that have no money, come ye buy and eat. And come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And hopefully this is like honey to you as you're listening in. Hopefully you are at the waters right now, getting this for free with no money. It says, listen, where do for you spend your money for that which is not bread, your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And if this is the truth of Yah, it's going to be established, and it's going to be good. But listen what the Most High says. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Who is this you? This is not specific to Levi. This is not specific to Yehuda. This is not specific to no tribe. This is specific to the whole nation of Israel. He said, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. That's what this everlasting covenant, he said, all you got to do is listen and incline your ear and come, because the covenant is already made. The covenant is waiting for us to come in. The covenant is waiting for us to come to the waters. And listen, it says, even the sure mercies of David is the covenant I'm going to make. And it says, behold, I have given him for a witness. I've given him for testimony. He represents the sure mercies of Yah in the highest order. In the highest order, David represents the sure mercies of Yah. And this is a covenant that Yahweh has opened up for all Israel to come into and be a part of. All of us. And that's why I say praise Yahweh for that, because when you understand the sure mercies that Yahweh has given unto David, and he said, man, you can have the same thing. My goodness, you ain't going to do nothing but praise Yah. And listen, you can prove in the fifth verse, it said, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. Nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of Yahweh Elohim, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. And who has he glorified? He hasn't glorified one tribe. He has glorified all his tribes. He has glorified the whole nation of Israel. And all nations shall be gathered unto the whole nation of Israel. Now, there it is in a nutshell. The fourth covenant is called even the sure mercies of David. That's what it's called. That's the fourth covenant. It's the fourth covenant. It has to represent the praises of Yah. And what do the sure mercies of David has to do with the praises of Yah? Well, let me show you. And this is, like I said, people, this is my first time teaching this. And it's astounding and blew my head open. Go to the book of Psalms 89 real quick. This is the first place I'm going to go. I just want you to see what the sure mercies of David is. Since the Most High said that he's promised that to us, well, what is these mercies? And through my studies, I seen that I thought I knew what mercy was. But when I took a second and third and fourth look at it, I didn't really understand the mercies of Yah like I do today. But in the book of Psalms 89, this chapter is speaking about the covenant that he made with David. And I'm going to start reading at the first verse of Psalms 89. It says, listen, I will sing of the mercies of Yah forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And you got to look at that first verse. He said, I will sing of Yahweh's mercies. And every time you see somebody in this book singing, every time you see somebody in this book praising, especially David, it's always about the mercies of Yah. No wonder his covenant is the fourth covenant of mercy, the sure mercies of David. But let's keep reading. It says, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Now, some people see that as, listen, that's the covenant of David right there. The covenant of David is, excuse me, the covenant of David is that thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. And you couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, from you all the way on the money. That's the truth. The Most High said he's going to establish David's seed and build up his throne forever. And it says, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Yahweh, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. But listen, this is what you got to realize. When the Most High established King David's seed, when he built up King David's throne, that just don't just come just by he setting a seed somewhere and then putting his throne somewhere. It looks a certain way. When you established, that come with many variables. When the throne is set up for many generations, only way that can happen is by many variables. All these variables is what I'm going to point out. And all these variables that I'm going to point out is shining a light that these is the mercies of Yah. It takes the mercies of Yah to set up a throne forever. Let me show you this. We're going to skip down a little bit. No, let's keep reading. We're at the fourth verse. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. The heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Yah, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. And yes, David is a wonder of Yah. He's a wonder. For who in the heaven can be compared unto Yah? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto Yah? Elohim is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Yahweh Elohim of hosts, who is strong of Yah like unto thee or to thy faithfulness round about? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. And let me skip down. I want to get to the meat of the matter so I can show you. In the 16th verse, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. And who is it talking about? It's talking about the seed of David, and it's talking about his throne. It says, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted, for thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. And is this not the same promise that he given to the whole nation of Israel? That in his name we will rejoice, and in his righteousness shall we be exalted? and that his glory shall be our strength. Yes, he's promising this to David and his seed, but Yahweh has opened this whole covenant up for the whole nation of Israel. In thy favor, our horn shall be exalted. It says, for Yah is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our king. Man, watch this. Then thou spakest in a vision to thy Holy One, and said, as I have laid help upon one that is mighty, I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Now it's showing you who this man is. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the sons of wickedness afflict him. And if you're not seeing, these are all the promises that Yahweh is laying upon David. When he said he's going to establish him and his seed and his throne, this is how it looks. The enemy shall not exact upon him, because I'm establishing his seed forever. I'm building his throne forever. But didn't he say that to the nation of Israel as well when he built us up? Yes, because he's made even a covenant with us, even the sure mercies of David. The enemy, it says, I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. Didn't the Most High tell us that? The same thing. Those that hate us, they're going to be plagued. Faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. These is the promises that come with the covenant. This is how the covenant look when you see it in its full fruition. That the Most High said David's hand going to be in the sea and then his other hand in the rivers. But did he not say the same thing to Israel? That we would have dominion from the Red Sea even to the river Euphrates? This is the same thing he promised to us, because he opened up the covenant, even the sure mercies of David, to us. He shall cry unto me, thou art my father, my Elohim, and the rock of my salvation. I will make him my firstborn. Did not Yahweh tell Israel that ye my firstborn? Did he not tell us that? The same thing. And it says, I will make him higher than the kings of the earth. Did not Yahweh tell Israel that we would be the highest nation on earth? Yes, because the Most High has made an everlasting covenant with us, even the sure mercies of David. But let me tell you why it's the sure mercies of David. Because David is a sign. He's a sign of the highest order. The sign of the highest order. So when the Most High said, I will give an everlasting covenant to you, even the sure mercies of David, these mercies is the highest mercies that you can ever receive. There's no mercies higher than the mercies that Yahweh has given unto David. There is no mercies higher than the mercies that he's given unto us, because he's given us the same mercy. And that's why I said, once you understand this covenant, you can't do nothing but praise Yah. Let's get in further. It says, I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore. My covenant shall stand fast with him. This is not just, well, we're going to make David's seed established forever and his throne forever. The Most High is shining the light on his mercies that he given David. And establishing his seed forever is a part of these mercies. Establishing his throne forever is a part of these mercies. He says, listen, his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. And that all his seed is not going to sit upon the throne. He's going to have daughters and other sons. But his sons will be upon the throne. But his seed, period, is going to be enduring forever. His throne is going to be as the days of heaven. His children, if they forsake my law, this is how merciful that Yahweh has given unto this man, the sure mercy. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him. Is this not the same promise that he gave to the nation of Israel? Why do you think that we still exist to this day? Because the Most High, no matter how much we sin, no matter how much we transgress, the Most High said, listen, because of the sure mercies of David that's already been prepared for us, I will correct thee in measure, but I will not make a full end of thee. But other nations, I will make a full end of. He's made full end of nations, and he's going to make full end of nations to come. But he will never make a full end of Israel, because his mercy is set and established through a covenant. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that is gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's seed is going to endure forever. And his throne is the sun before me. And it shall be established forever as the moon and as the faithful witness in heaven. And I like to say hallelujah and praise the mighty Yahweh to that. Because that is a promise to David right there. We talk about the seed of David, but you see all these things that Yahweh is promising David through an everlasting covenant. You see these mercies that he's going to be established forever as the moon, as the faithful witness in heaven. Well, these are the same exact things he said about Israel when he made a covenant with day and night. This is the same exact thing he said to Israel. And so, I say to you that King David, he represents the highest order of Yahweh's mercies. There is no man in this scripture that you can read these kind of words outside of reading about the whole nation of Israel. When you read about the whole nation of Israel, that's when you can read these same kind of blessings, these same kind of mercies. But when you get to one individual man, there is no higher. And so my studies, I mean, this man David is deep. Why this man? Why this man? Why does he represent the highest order of Yahweh's mercy? Why did Yahweh say, this man, I made my firstborn? He wasn't Yahweh's firstborn, but the Most High then took him and moved him in the front of the line of everybody. He took Adam's place and made him the firstborn, just like he made Israel the firstborn. Go with me to take a look at the life of David. Because it's going to astound you why the Most High not only used him as the highest order of his mercies, you're going to understand clearly why it's the fourth covenant. You're going to understand this clearly. And I'm going to start in the book of 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. In the book of 2 Samuel, and excuse me, I'm going to start at verse 23. 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. And watch this about David. In the first verse, it said, now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, the man who was raised up on high. And like I said, this man represents the highest order of Yahweh's praise. Everything about this man was high, and everything about this man was praise. And not just praise, but praises of Yah. This is what he was born and destined to be. This man was raised up on high, the anointed of Elohim, the Elohim of Yaakov, the sweet psalmist of Israel said, This man was a sweet psalmist. Matter of fact, when you read in the book of Psalms, if you look at the top of your Psalms, it called David the chief musician. Half the Psalms, he wrote them. And a lot of them Psalms were songs that he sang and praised Yahweh with. He was a master musician, chief musician. But watch this, it says, the spirit of Yahweh spake by me. This is what David said. And his word was in my tongue. The Elohim of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. He's telling you about a conversation that Yahweh had with him. It says, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of Elohim. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises. Look how Yahweh talking to this man. Because the Most High know what this man represents. He said, man, you got to be like the sun that rises in the morning. Because from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my name is to be praised. He says, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. This is what Yahweh said to him. And he says, although my house be not sold with Elohim, yet he have made with me an everlasting covenant, order in all things. And like I said, this everlasting covenant, sure mercies of David, is because David is of the highest order when it comes to Yahweh's mercies. He's also in the highest order when it comes to Yahweh's praise, because that's what Yahweh's mercy stands for. That's what his mercy represents. It represents his praise. Why you think it's the fourth covenant? Sure mercies. It says, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Because one day this thing is going to bud and come into fruition. And it didn't come into full fruition during the time that he once walked upon this earth. He knew it would be another time for him. He knew that this bud would sit dormant for a while and that it would flourish. Go to the book, since we in Samuel. Let's go to the 7th chapter. See, once you begin to know this man David, you will understand why his name is even there when it comes to the fourth covenant. 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, it says, and it came to pass when the king said, and I'm at the first verse. It came to pass when the king sat in his house, and Yahweh had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan, the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of Elohim dwelleth with curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is which is in your heart, for Yahweh is with you. So it was in his heart that, man, I'm sitting here in cedar, but Yahweh's house is in curtains. And it came to pass that night that the word of Yah came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says Yah, shall thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Really? This is a question. He said, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle, and all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with them, any tribe of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? Most I said, not one time did I complain when I was walking in and out these tents. And here it is, the first man that came with his heart, the love of his heart, to consider that here it is, I'm in cedar, but Yahweh is living in curtains. He says, in the 8th verse, now therefore shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus says Yahweh of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep to be ruler over my people, And it wasn't by coincidence that he was raising sheep out of all his brothers. The Most High was raising this man up from the beginning. The Most High knew that he would be the leader of his sheep and his flock. And it says, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all your enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. And Most High told us when he planted this place, that he would choose a place to place his name. And of course we know the Most High placed his name in the land of Yehuda. Let's show you this. And you know what? It's astounding. Before I even show you that about this man David, go to Psalms 132. This is something that people might not know about David. The Most High said he never complained not one time and never asked the people, man, why am I coming in and out of curves and tents? And y'all live in a cedar. Not one time did he complain. And look what David in his heart. Well, Psalms 132 says, Yahweh, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore unto Yah and vowed unto the mighty Elohim of Yaakov, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I found out a place for Yahweh, a habitation for the mighty Elohim. See the kind of man we're dealing with. This man's heart is the first man you can read about that even thought about building Yah an official house. And Yahweh's house is for only one place. It's for his name. That's what his house is for. And what is his name for? His name is for praise. That's what we send our praises to, his holy and righteous name. And now you can get closer to seeing why this man represents the highest order of Yahweh's praise. You don't get no higher order of Yahweh's praise than the praises at his temple, that he said he will choose a place out of all the tribes to place his name there, and thither shall we come and bring all our tithes, all our heave offerings, all our vows. Three times a year we had to go there and bring forth our tithes and rejoice before Yah. All three times, all we was doing was praising Yahweh's holy and righteous name. You don't get no higher order of praise than the praises where Yahweh's house and his name dwelleth. Go with me to 1 Chronicles, the 17th chapter. And I'm going to show a few more scriptures just to show you this man. 1 Chronicles, the 17th chapter. What does it say in about 10 verse? And I just want you to see what David said when Yahweh was making these promises to him. And David the king came and sat before Yah and said, who am I, O Yahweh Elohim, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto, that you done brought me to this high place? My goodness, who am I? You Yahweh's wonder, first wonder. And yet, this was a small thing in thine eyes, O Elohim, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and has regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Yahweh Elohim. And like I said, this man is established at the highest order of any man. To get higher than David, you'll have to literally go into the heavens. Because there is no man on earth higher than David. Let me show you in a book of 1 Chronicles 28, since we're in 1 Chronicles. I'm going to start at the second verse. It says, "Then David, the king, stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren, my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of Yah and for the footstool of our Elohim, and had made ready for the building." I had made ready for this thing. I was about to do this thing because you know what? This man was raised up for the sole purpose of the praises of Yah. Sole purpose of the praises of Yah. He said, "But Elohim said to me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name." Because that's what the house is for. It's for his name. And so therefore, you know, the house was for his what? His praise. He said, "You shall not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Well, how be it, Yahweh Elohim of Israel?" Listen to David in his fourth verse. And it's not a coincidence that it's the fourth verse. "How be it, Yahweh Elohim of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever." All the house of his father. He was chosen out of the whole house from Abraham all the way down. He was chosen to be the king over Israel. "For he has chosen Yehuda." That's the first thing first. He chose Yehuda to be the ruler. But then he boiled it down. Out of the house of Yehuda, he chose my father's house, which was Jesse. And then out of that, among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And all my sons, out of all my sons, he has chosen my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Yah over Israel. And King Solomon is going to build Yahweh's house. So this is the Most High letting you know, King David letting you know, first of all, Yahweh chose Yehuda, which is the fourth tribe. And out of the fourth tribe, he chose King David's father's house. And out of King David's father's house, which is Amash Yehuda, he chose David. So not only this man is the highest order of Yahweh's praise, this man is literally from the fourth tribe. Everything about him points to the praise of Yah. Let me show you in the next chapter, and 2nd and 1st Chronicles 29. Watch this. "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone Elohim has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for Yahweh Elohim. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my Elohim, the gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, and brass for things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glycerine stones and diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance." He said, "I done prepared this of my own possessions." And the reason why, he said, "Moreover," he about to let you know why he done gave all these things. All these things. "Because I have set my affection to the house of my Elohim." And what is the house of Elohim? It's the place that's preserved. It's the place that was built. It's the place that's exclusively for the praises of Yahweh's name. This is the place that he put his name in. And here it is. This man set his affection to the house of Yahweh. And this word affection is deep, because you will only see this word one time in the scriptures. And we just read it just now. You won't see that word affection nowhere else. When you see this man say he did this thing with all his might, this is why this man is at the highest order of Yahweh's praise. The highest order. This is why this man received the highest accolade that a man can even receive in the scriptures. And we know what that accolade is. The Most High said King David is a man after his very own heart. I can't wait for a man to come back that has that kind of status. The rub shoulders when a man that got a heart like unto Yah. No wonder he's at the highest order. Let me skip down in this chapter. Go to the 10th verse. It says in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10, wherefore David blessed Yah before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Yahweh Elohim of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Yahweh, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Yah. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, O Elohim, we thank thee and we praise thy glory, yes, name. For who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thy own hand we are given unto thee. So you can see that this is what this man's purpose was to do, is to bring praises to the name of Yah. Let me show you even further about this man, why they call him the sweet psalmist. Go into 1 Chronicles 23. This man was a sweet psalmist. Who you think King Saul called upon when he was having bad spirits? He had to call this man named David, who played the instrument with so much skill that it took away the satanic spirits that was brewing in Saul's soul. Listen, watch this in 1 Chronicles 23. 1 Chronicles. Let's start at the second verse. It says, and he gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward. Their number by their poles, man by man, was 38,000, of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of Yah, and 6,000 were officers and judges. And it said, moreover, 4,000 were porters. 4,000 praised Yahweh with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. Can't you see that this man represents the highest order of Yahweh's praise? This is why the Most High promised us in the fourth covenant even the sure mercies of David. The fourth represents Yahweh's praise. The sure mercies represent Yah's praise. The sure mercies of David represent Yah's praise. And David by himself, he represents the highest order of Yahweh's praise. Look what it said. Moreover, 4,000 porters, and being 4,000, praise Yah with the instruments. How many thousand? 4,000. We can't make this up, people. It could have been 2,000, 3,000, but it was 4,000 praising Yah with instruments that who made? The chief musician, the man that was born to praise Yah through the highest order. He made 4,000 instruments for these people to sing on and to play with. And David divided them into courses among the sons of Levi. He the one orchestrated the whole orchestra. When it came to the singing in the house, he didn't put nobody in charge to do that. He did it himself because he was a master praiser of Yah. This is his whole duty. Look at 1 Chronicles Let's go back to Samuel. I got to show you this. Second Samuel, the 6th chapter, starting at the 12th verse. It was told, 2 Samuel 6 and 12, it was told King David, saying, Yahweh have blessed the house of Obedom and all that pertaineth unto him because the ark of Elohim. So David went and brought up the ark of Elohim from the house of Obedom into the city of David with gladness. He didn't just go pick that thing up. He brought it back to the city with gladness, because this man is all about the praises of Yah. And it was so that when they that buried the ark of Yah had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatmen. And David danced before Yah with all his might. And you won't read about a man in these scriptures that seemed and dance with all their might. Every time you read about David praising Yah, it was with all his might. And yes, you can praise Yah through singing, and you can praise Yah through dancing. And it says, man, this man danced before Yah with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of Yah with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of Yah came into the city of David, Michael's Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before Yah, and she despised him in her heart. I just wanted to show you that. Go also to 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. And I'm just a couple more places, but everywhere I go, it's just going to show you how much singing and dancing and praising this man did. You won't see so much singing and dancing and praising more than this man. What did I say? 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. And it says in the first verse, so they brought the ark of Elohim and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. He pitched this tent. They offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before Elohim. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings, the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of Yah. Now watch this. We're going to skip on down. Now, for understanding, because we only got a couple more verses before we get to the meat of the matter, it says that he dealt to every one of Israel, both men and women, to everyone a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine, because this man is all about the praises of Yah. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of Yah and to record and to thank and praise Yah, Elohim of Israel. And now you can skip down. It says on the 7th verse, then on that day, David delivered the first, this song to thank Yah, into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Asaph and his brethren was the one that was chosen to be over the orchestra that was in Yahweh's house. And guess who delivered the song? Who wrote the song of praises to give thanks to Yah? King David did. The highest order. You don't get no higher praises than this right here. These was Levites. They was praising Yahweh in pure holiness, right in the house that was built for Yah, praising him. And King David was the one orchestrating and officiating this whole thing. And then you can read this beautiful chapter. The rest of it is it's the song that David put together. And I just like the end of the matter more than anything. When you get to the 28th verse, give unto Yah, ye kindred of the people, give unto Yah glory and strength, give unto Yahweh the glory due unto his name, bring an offering, come before him, worship Yah in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth, the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. And then the 34th verse says, oh, give thanks unto Yah, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And like I said, every time you see somebody praising Yah, the end of this song is all about praise Yah for his good, for his mercy endure forever. This is why the fourth covenant, which has to represent praise, is a covenant of mercy. But the Most High is letting the people know that this mercy is the sure mercies of David, which is letting us know what? It's the highest order of mercy that you can even be given. And if it's the highest order of mercy, well, then it's the highest order of praise, because that's what mercy represents. It represents the praises of Yah. Look at 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Verse 21, it says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto Yah that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise Yah, for his mercy endure forever. Do you see this? This is what the whole song was about. Praise Yah for his mercy endure forever. And when they began to sing and to praise Yah, Yahweh set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and the Mount of Seir. Hallelujah. Look at, and what I'm doing now is going to show you that beyond a shadow of a doubt, David represents the highest order of Yahweh's praise. The highest order. And these praises is stemmed from the mercies that Yahweh has shown David. Just look at the man. The man was raised up by Yah. He was taught by Yah, and everything about him came from Yah. Everything about him began to be nothing but high. He was raised on high because this was the mercies that Yahweh has led before him all his life. And what I want to prove to you now is that undoubtedly, not only David represents his praise, but mercy represent his praise. And I'm only going to go to a couple of scriptures because I already really shown it. But look at Jeremiah 33 and 11. And I'll start at verse 10. Thus says Yah, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye shall say, which ye say shall be heard in this place. Excuse me. Thus says Yah, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate, without man, without beast, even in the cities of Yehuda, in the streets of Jerusalem, there are desolate, without man, without inhabitant, and without beast. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise Yah, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That's the only thing we should be praising Yahweh every time. If I get a beautiful wife and I'm getting married, I'm praising Yah because his mercy is allowing this. If you get a beautiful husband, you better praise Yah for his mercy endures forever. I don't matter what goodness that Yahweh is blessing you with, it's his mercy. And that's why his mercy represents the praises of Yah. Look at Isaiah 54, verse 8. And like I said, we done shown that the fourth day, We done shown that the fourth year, we done shown that the fourth tribe, we done shown that the fourth commandment represents the praises of Yah. And here I am today showing you that the fourth covenant represents the praises of Yah to the highest order. There is no order compared unto the fourth covenant that represents Yahweh's praises the way this fourth covenant do. Because this covenant establishes Yahweh's mercy to the highest order. To the highest order. Isaiah 54 verse 8 says, in a little wrath, and no, let me, you got to start at verse 7. For as a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee in a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, says Yah, thy redeemer. He said, with everlasting kindness. And people, what the Most High showed me is that when the Most High said everlasting kindness, this was the same Hebrew word as mercy. And let me show you this real quick. Go to Psalm 63, verse 3. This gave me a way more understanding about Yahweh's mercy. See, a lot of times we think mercy just means to Yahweh just forgiving you for something. No. When you see the mercies that he gave David in Psalms 89, this wasn't forgiveness. These mercies was kindness. It was blessings. It was love. This Yahweh loved this man. And his love is his mercy. Psalm 63. Verse 3, and I start at verse 1, Psalm 63. O Elohim, thou art my Elohim. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. This, here it go again. He said, because your loving kindness. This is the same Hebrew word as mercy. This is basically saying, because your mercy is better than life. And then he said, because of this mercy, because of this loving kindness, my lips shall do what? Praise thee. Look what the Most High said about himself. And then we're going to go ahead and bring it all to a full course meal. Like the Most High said, come and eat. And hopefully this meal is nourishing to your soul. This truth is nourishing to your bones. Here it is in Jeremiah, the 9th chapter, the 23rd verse. The Most High said, thus says Yah, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understands and know me, that I am Yah, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight. And yes, this loving kindness that he exercises in the earth, that he wants us to glory ourselves in, that we know, and yes, glory means the praise. When you're glorying, that means the praise. And you want to praise and you want to get riled up and praising and glorying, well, you better glory in this, that Yahweh exercises loving kindness. Praise Yah and glory in the fact that his mercy endures forever. Look at Psalm 50. Psalm 50 says in the 23rd verse, whoso offers praise glorifies me. Because this is what glorying and glorifying is praising. Whoso offers praise glorifies me, and to him that ordered his conversation aright will I show the salvation of Elohim. And so I praise Yah. Why do you think that the Most High, Yahweh, told us in the book of Micah, the 6th chapter, the 6th verse, he said, I done shown thee, O man, what is good. I done shown you what you're supposed to be about, which is everything is good. And he said, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your Elohim. And we as a people don't understand mercy. That's why we're not a loving and kind people. We're not a loving and kind people. Matter of fact, the Most High said we are stiff-hearted, stiff-necked, and hard-hearted people. This is why we can't understand the laws of Yah, because we're too stiff-necked and hard-hearted. If you look at the laws of Yah, it's full of his love and kindness. It's full of his mercy. When you look at the laws of Yah, it's salvation for everybody. There's salvation for Israel. There's salvation for the strangers. There's salvation for even the beasts. Why do you think the Most High gave us a Sabbath day? That wasn't just for Israel. That was for the strangers, for the servants, for the beasts. Why do you think the Most High gave us a Sabbath year? Why do you think the Most High said thou shalt not murder? This wasn't just for Israel. This for any man. There's salvation because the mercy of Yah is from everlasting to everlasting. His mercy is in all his works. That's why you will read in the book of Psalms. And I think that Psalms 118, verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks unto Yah for his good, because what? His mercy endures forever. In other words, praise Yah for he's good, because his mercy endure forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endure forever. Let Aaron say that his mercy endure forever. Let them now that fear Yah say his mercy endure forever. I called upon Yah in distress. Yah answered me and set me in a large place. And you keep reading. It's always about his mercy enduring forever. The Most High told us in the book of Wisdom, the desire of a man in Proverbs 19:22 said, the desire of a man is his kindness. The desire of a man is his kindness. He said in Proverbs 31:26, he said, the law of kindness is in the tongue of a virtuous woman. Because when you really get the spirit of Yah, this is when the loving kindness come into your soul. That's what his spirit is all about. He said, for in this thing is what I delight in. So when we see the mercy of Yah, when he said the sure mercies of David, this was the sure loving kindness of David. And you can read the loving kindness that he showed him in Psalm 89. Read about his life and see how Yahweh raised this man up and put him on high. Took him from what some might consider a low job, because all the brothers of David, that was a low job. Don't make us do the job. Make the little scraggly, the youngster, the 8th born son, put him back there to take care of the sheep. We got bigger and better things to do. But he went from that to the highest order. This was because of the loving kindness of Yah. And then to top it off and closing out, the Most High has made an everlasting covenant with Israel. He said, all you got to do is incline your ear and hear and come unto me and hear. Your soul is going to live. And I'm going to make with you an everlasting covenant. Even the sure mercies of David. Even the sure mercies of David. And I asked myself, this man is so high. He was raised up on high. He was beloved of all people. Why did the Most High never change his name? Like he did with Abraham. Like he did with Jacob. Like he did with certain people in the scriptures. Well, of course, because this man was born and his purpose, and his name is befitting for his purpose. If you look up the name of David, it's going to take you to the definition of the word loving. Loving. Loving or beloved. And when you look up this word loving, you will see two different definitions. One of them will take you to kindness, and the other one will take you to affection. You'll read about that loving and affection in Ecclesiastes. But there was no man, like I told you, when you seen that word affection, when he said that, man, he basically clinked his riches out to build the Most High's house. He said because he had set his affection to the house of his Elohim. And he didn't say the house of Yah. He said the house of my Elohim. Because he had an affection and closeness to Yah. He said that's my Elohim. And this man's name means loving. And here it is. I'm telling you all that the fourth covenant is the sure loving kindness of David. This man represents the mercies of Yah in the highest order. Because that's what the mercy of Yah represents. The mercy of Yah is love. The mercy of Yah is kindness. And this man, David, represented to the highest order. His name means mercy. His name means loving and affection. And you won't read a man that's more affectionate than this guy. His friend Jonathan, when he passed away, he got into his high position. Thing he said is, find me this man Jonathan's son. Just find me an offspring of Jonathan. And they found one. And you know what he said? He said, find him for me so I can show the kindness of Elohim to him. That's what I got to do. Because I love that man. I promised that man. Because of the kindness that he showed me when his father was trying to kill me. Even though he was compadres with his father, he showed me kindness. And I'm going to return that kindness to this man because I love that man. And therefore, I'm going to show it to a seed. And that same son sat at the table with David and Nate. And he made that son a great man, made him a captain, and enlarged his borders and blessed him and gave him an inheritance from his own father. So dare I say, the fourth covenant, without a doubt, is the name of that covenant is even the sure mercies of David. And you can understand why it's the sure mercies, because the mercy of Yah represent his praise. But the mercies of David, who also represent his praise, represents the highest order of praise. The first man that came on the scene to say, Yah, I got to build you a house. And I'm closing now. How long I got?
5 minutes.
I got 5 minutes, and I neglected to read one scripture. And it was in a book of 2 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. And it actually is in 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter. And it's at the 19th verse. And this is after he done gave the pattern. If you read that 11th verse in the same chapter, it says, then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof, the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof. He gave the patterns all this, which means what? The blueprints. And then you skip down to the 19th verse. It says, all this said David, Yah made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. So the Most High used this man to even bring the blueprint and the patterns forward for the house of his praise. And like I said, He's the highest order. The Most High has set this man on high. He's even made him his firstborn. His seed shall be established forever. No enemy will exact upon him. Those who hate him shall be plagued. His throne shall be as the sun and the moon. And I praise Yah because the Most High has opened that covenant up for even myself and my seed. But we can reap the benefits of that same loving kindness, that sure mercies, the sure loving kindness that he gave unto David. I have the right and opportunity to be a part of that just as well as you. And I want my seed to endure forever. I want my seed to be one of the princes and rulers of this earth as a true son of Israel, as a true son of Yah. I want my seed to be priests unto our Father. And hopefully you want your sons and your daughters to be in this blessed covenant. And with that being said, the last verse that I've been holding on to, and I'm glad Yahweh didn't let me forget it. This is the very last verse in the book of Zechariah. And like I said, this is my first time teaching on this, showing that David is the highest order of Yahweh's praise. That's why the fourth covenant is the sure mercies of David. And in Zechariah, the 12th chapter, you're going to see how it's going to look in true life when this covenant really comes to pass. In Zechariah, the 12th chapter, starting at the 7th verse, Yahweh also shall save the tents of Yehuda. He will save the tents of Yehuda first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Yehuda. And that day shall Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as Elohim, as the angel of Yahweh before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that shall come against Jerusalem. So like I told you, the sure mercies of David is definitely promised to us. And a lot of us is going to be just like unto David in the future, just like unto him, with the same kind of heart and spirit and might that this man had. And then his sons, his house, is going to be like unto angels, because this man represents the highest order of Yahweh's mercy. He represents the highest order of Yahweh's praise. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah, for his mercy endure forever. Hallelujah.
There was nobody before him, and there was nobody after him. Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Let everybody know that.
This is how you get down with the Israelite team. Praising Yahweh, your Elohim, on this holy convocation day. Thou shalt not do any work. And if you picking up stickers, then you will get hit. This is what you do after you roam in your home. Don't go out doing that work you get.